will be a risky nativity. I'm thinking there about all the characters within the Christmas account and the risks that each one of them took. Don't want to tell you too much about it, spoil the fun. We need to come along to it and enjoy it. But thinking about the risks that each of them took in their obedience to God. And so for this Sunday and next Sunday, the two preceding Sundays, we're going to be thinking of other biblical characters who took a risk for God. And I was hoping we would have had some testimony in this section when I asked Paul to ask people if anybody had taken a risk for God. I'm sure that you have. I'm sure you've taken a risk for God, but nobody wanted to risk saying it aloud this morning. So we're going to look at a lady called Joanna. She's a lady in the Bible, one that we don't really hear of very much. She's only mentioned in a couple of verses. But these are the verses. You'll find them in Luke chapter 8, in verses 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And this is where we find Joanna is mentioned. Jesus has been with his disciples and teaching them and talking about different things. He's just been anointed by Mary as she poured oil over his feet. And now we read, after this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And that's the only reference that we have to Joanna by that name. There is a reference later in Acts where it's thought that she changed her name to a Latin name, and that's mentioned when Paul lists the people that have been helping him in his ministry, and it's thought that that is Joanna as well. But as we read there, she was healed by Jesus, like several other women. We don't know whether it was an infirmity or a spiritual problem that she had. We don't need to know. That's not important. What we do know, it's sufficient for us to read that transformation that came about in her life and the immense work that she did in her service to Jesus. We read there that she was the wife of a man named Chuza. Apologies again if I've got the pronunciation wrong. She was actually married to the manager of Herod Antipas. Mm-hmm. And you might know that Herod Antipas was the son of King Herod the Great. And of course it was Herod Antipas who ordered the execution of John the Baptist when Salome asked for his head to be delivered to her. So here we are with Joanna. She's there, married to the manager of Herod's palace. And she remained faithful to Jesus. She came to faith and she remained devoted to Jesus to the end of her life. She accompanied Jesus and his disciples from Galilee to Jerusalem. She was present at the crucifixion and at the burial. And Luke tells us that she returned 3 days later with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And then finding the tomb empty, they ran to tell the other apostles. So being wife to the manager, he was the tetrarch for Galilee, meant that Joanna would have lived initially in Tiberias, the capital of Galilee. And it's thought by some scholars that Luke might actually have found out a lot of his detailed knowledge about Jesus from Joanna, because he was the only gospel writer to actually mention her. So think about the risk that Joanna took the day that she decided to follow Jesus. It's thought that when she actually helped and worked and followed with Jesus, that her husband had died, but we don't know that. That's just what some scholars say. She left behind her grand social priorities, but she also had a dilemma, because the people that worked for Herod were looked down on in a similar way to tax collectors were looked down on, because they were seen to be working for the enemy. So therefore, she wouldn't have been readily accepted by those of the lower classes. But equally, by turning away from all that, she would have also been despised and alienated by those who were originally in the circles within which she moved. So she would have been in quite a lonely place. And yet, she wasn't lonely, because she found Jesus and she found a place there where he accepted her. And not only was she accepted and received from Jesus, but she was also able to give to him. Because she and the other women, as we read there, actually paid for the ministry out of their own monies. And she would have been a wealthy woman. And she paid that into the ministry that Jesus did. It was, as I say, against social divisions and Jewish traditions of the day for a woman to be travelling with a group of men. I mean, she wasn't on her own. There were other women there as well. But nevertheless, it would have been considered scandalous. That was another risk that she took. And she also took a risk, all those women did, given how the situation and how women were treated in those days. But Jesus, of course, was different. And she had known his healing power. And she was able to witness firsthand the good news of Christ's resurrection. She was a brilliant leader. If you have opportunity, do try and dig out some more information about Joanna. I think Jean knows all about her, so have a word with Jean and she'll be able to fit in a bit more, because she keeps nodding and agreeing with the things that I'm saying here. But she was very special, and she was set free by Jesus to be the person that God had created her to be, and to tell others about the love of Jesus for them. So Joanna is another good role model. Alongside John the Baptist, who was actively working, Joanna is a good role model for us to recognise that when we come to Jesus, when we've received his love, when we know what he's done for us, that transforming, amazing love and how it's changed us, so then we want to equip the ministry that will go on and tell others about him. We want to be part of those who follow. And we don't want to be followers, do we? Going right back to when we had the connectional Bible studies and we were looking at the difference between a follower and a disciple. We don't just want to be followers, do we? We want to be disciples. We want to be disciples of Jesus, trained, loved, cared for, blessed, working for him and seeking to share his message. Amen.